everybody needs.
Education. And what's interesting is there's a new book out called Sense, C-E-N-T-S, Sense and Sensibility, What Economics
really?
Can Learn
Sense and Sensibility.
From the Humanities. Listen up, Corey Johnson. Morty Shapiro is economist and Northwestern president. He joins us on the phone from Evanston, Illinois, along with our own Janet Lauren, Bloomberg News higher education reporter. She is in our Bloomberg 1130 studio in New York. Morty, nice to have you here with us. Tell us about this book, why you wrote it, and what it's about.
Well, it's a little different. I'm an economics professor, and I've been teaching and publishing in this area for almost four decades. And I also teach a course with a Russian literature professor, which is a little unusual for a lot of economists. And we've taught this undergraduate course here at Northwestern for 7 years, and it's evolved into the following subject, What Economics Can Learn from the Humanities. And our students encouraged us to, my co-authors, Gary Saul Morrison, who is one of the world's experts in Russian literature, and we decided to write this book, Sense and Sensibility, What Economics Can Learn from the Humanities.
So interesting. So the tie-in, of course, we all are living sentient beings who want to experience all of the things under the sun and also have to deal with our finances. And is there a common theme that runs through this sort of dual thought track?
Well, I think there's a common theme. It's probably not to be overwhelmed by hubris. You know, that there's a lot of humble, you know, literature humbles us, I think, by putting us in the place of other people and developing a sense of empathy. And as an economist, when I think about the reality of our behavioral models, the accuracy of our predictions or the lack of accuracy and the general, in some cases, ineffectiveness or of our policies, that makes you kind of humble. And I think as an investor, a little humility is good, and certainly as an economics professor.
Well, I was certainly most interested in your sections on higher education. And speaking of what makes good predictions, you talked about in admissions, going on a college tour on campus can be the best predictor of which students will matriculate, which accepted students. Can you explain that?
Yeah, you know, students who are, you know, applying for a college, particularly a selective college where it really matters because many people don't get admitted, you know, they give you a lot of information, the kind of information that a lot of businesses, frankly, would die for, because they tell you not only about their backgrounds and their parents' backgrounds and their financial circumstances, they also tip their hand to a considerable extent in terms of are they interested in coming. And for some schools, that affects the price that they charge.
It's interesting, too. I mean, do the students tend to know a lot about you know, what they know about their parents' financial situations?
Well,
about their financial literacy.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about the financial literacy, but obviously, I mean, if you look at private colleges and universities, only about 15% of the millions of students who are at four-year private, not-for-profit colleges and universities actually pay the sticker price. So most of them get a very large discount off that sticker price for their net price. And so they share with the universities all sorts of things about them. And you know, I think that chapter that Janet was alluding to, we talk a little bit about how easy it is for selective universities, if they so choose, to predict whether an applicant's going to come. And the good news is, if you're interested in lowering your admit rate and increasing your yield, if you predict somebody has, say, a 90% chance of coming, you're more likely to admit that student. But on the other hand, if you're thinking about merit aid or even in some cases need-based aid, if the person's going to come anyway, do you really want to reduce the price off the sticker price? So it raises some, I think, important ethical issues here.
And you also bring up the morality of admission rates. Speaking of lowering, you know, admit rates, what do schools actually count in the denominator? And we should say that the admission rate is the number of kids who are accepted over the total number of applicants. Tell us about that.
Well, there's also a chapter about that, and the background, of course, is about the ethical dimensions. We hear all the time from boards of trustees and the others, be more like a business. But, you know, we're held in the public trust, and, you know, we have to behave in a certain way, I think, to justify our 501c3 status. of being tax exempt. And it's very tempting when you're filling out forms and saying what your admit rate is or what your alumni giving rate is or the average class size or the graduation rate to fudge those numbers. And particularly given that there's no independent organization that ever verifies it. There's not a Federal Trade Commission or Consumers Reports or anybody else like that. So you're pretty much dependent on your own integrity, and there are plenty of stories that we tell in the book about how easy it is to fudge those numbers, whether to U.S. News or to any other rankings agency.
Morty, if you had to suggest a reading list for our administration, the White House, what would you suggest?
Well, I think, you know, again, as I said, I think you can gain a great sense of empathy, nothing like literature. And there's some scientific data that support this contention that, you know, when you're reading a great novel, you know, your gender is different, your sexuality is different, your nationality, your socioeconomic status, your view of what's right and wrong is different. So I think reading great fiction, and that's what we argue in the book, that if you take literature, but not just literature, the other humanities or even the qualitative social sciences seriously, then investors could do better, I think, and certainly economists could do better. So I think there's so many great examples of wonderful fiction out there. Some of it's from a long time ago. Jane Austen and Chekhov and Tolstoy are heroes of the book, but so are many of the more recent writers who just write brilliantly and enable you to do something you don't normally do, which is see the world through somebody else's eyes.
This was a lot of fun, and I hope you'll come back and talk some more, because I think it's a different way of thinking about things and approach. Morty, thank you so much. Morty Shapiro, economist and Northwestern president, joining us on the phone from Evanston, Illinois, along with our own Janet Lauren, Bloomberg News higher education reporter. The book, Morty's book, Sense, C-E-N-T-S, and Sensibility, What Economics Can Learn from the Humanities. All right, you are listening to Bloomberg Markets on this Wednesday. Carol Masser in our Bloomberg 1130 studio, Corey Johnson in our Bloomberg 960 studio in San Francisco. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on Bloomberg Radio.